For most of you, cake is a guilty pleasure. For some of you, maybe when it's iced and decorated, it's a work of art. And for a few of you, it could be a moral statement. During last year's same-sex marriage debate, the scenario of the baker who declined to make a cake for a gay couple because of religious conscience felt a bit like an urban legend. You know, it will never happen. Well, now it has. A judge in California has just ruled that a custom-made wedding cake is art, and a baker cannot be forced to create one for a same-sex wedding. The US Supreme Court will soon bring down a decision on a similar case in Colorado. Professor Ian Benson of Notre Dame University is an international expert on questions of religious freedom.
Yes, well, the California decision, which just came down recently, ruled that a cake maker in California could refuse to make a, quote, gay cake, unquote, requested by a same-sex couple. The usual thing, a cake for their marriage celebration. And in this instance, she refused on the ground that it went against her religious beliefs.
It's a very specific ruling in this case, though, Ian. It's not considered open slather for a business owner to refuse same-sex couples. It comes down to a very specific point. What was that?
Well, in that case, it was that the compulsion were the judge to find under the discrimination law that the cake maker was compelled to do it would have been a breach of the freedom of speech, essentially, in relation to artistic creativity.
Yeah, because in this case, the baker was defining herself, and I think the court ultimately defined her as a cake artist.
Quite so. And that brings it within another case that's been argued just in December and is currently, as they say, on reserve before the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called Masterpiece Cake Shop. There again, the cake maker was an artist who entered into an artistic conversation with the people wanting work done for them and believed that his religious faith was expressed in the art of cake making.
Now, the judge in this cake shop in Bakersfield, California, he drew a distinction between a cake that was already made, which he said was something that the cake maker couldn't withhold from a customer, no matter what the customer's sexuality or gender, and a cake that they had put on order. So is that a viable distinction there?
Well, let's remember that in these line-drawing scenarios that are essential in law, context is everything, and the specific place of the disagreement is extremely important, where you've got two rights, as you do here, in conflict. The right of the same-sex couple in these cases is to be provided with services or goods, and the right of the provider of the service is to have their conscience or religion protected. So you've got a dead-on conflict there between the two rights. So what the courts try and do is reconcile the rights rather than trump one with the other. In this instance, the distinction between a cake that's ready-made and one that's being artistically made is that the ready-made one is really just something that would be sold to anyone. It doesn't come, as it were, with the imprint of the religious or conscientious view of the person making it. In another of the cases, the judge pointed out that were the vendor to refuse to sell tires to a gay couple, for example, that would not be sheltered by a religious objection. So these cases are not sheltering a religious refusal to deal with gay people. They're looking in a much more nuanced way at precisely what the objection is.
We've been talking here about a very specific case in California. You mentioned another case, which is probably even more important, a case
Colorado.
In Colorado,
yeah.
Because it's made its way all the way to the US Supreme Court. So one assumes that will be the final word. Do you think this decision in the California case is something that might inform the judges of the US Supreme Court when considering the Colorado case, a much more symbolically important case?
It is the case, of course, given the hierarchy of courts, that the Supreme Courts, either of Canada or United States or the High Court here in Australia, these courts are not bound by lower court decisions. They'll read them, of course, and particularly given that this one's also involving a cake and the same kind of moral concerns, but in no way are they bound by it. Remember as well that there's other cake decisions that go against the recent California decision. So it's not a homogeneous mixture, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was another case, I think, in Oregon,
yes,
where a baker declined to do a cake that explicitly had a pro-same-sex marriage inscription.
Yeah.
And that cake maker, I think, essentially went out of business rather
than... Yeah, that
than...
was the Sweet Cakes case, as it's known, out of Eugene, Oregon. Mm. There, the cake makers who refused to make the cake were fined $135,000 for personal feeling injury or insult to the dignity of the lesbian couple in that case.
Of course, Ian, this all has relevance to Australia because the former Attorney General, Philip Ruddock, is now in the process of doing a review of Australia's freedom of religion and proposed religious liberty laws.
Yeah.
How do you think this decision in California might play into the way Australia might view provisions in the law for religious liberty now that we have same-sex marriage?
Well, I don't know that the length of time the Ruddock Commission plans on considering their mandate, but you've got, at the moment, two extremely important decisions on religious liberty involving widely the question of same-sex marriage status. The one that we've discussed, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case in the United States, and across the border in Canada, also argued in December 2017, the case involving a Western Canadian university, Trinity Western University. These two cases are extremely important for religious liberty. They are both argued in the same month. They're both under reserve.
Well, we should just remind people that Canadian case is far more significant than anything to do with a cake shop. That Canadian case is about whether a university can have, I think, one of its medical or social work courses accredited because of the conservative ethos of the university, that it conflicts with what the liberal norms of Canada.
You're remarkably well informed. A little incorrect on the facts, but the general sense is right. It had to do with the accreditation of a law school itself. Interestingly, all of the steps for accreditation had been passed in favor. The minister had given approval. But then through an unusual provision of the Law Society rules, a vote of the membership was held. And that's all the lawyers. And the majority of them, probably three-fifths of them, voted against Trinity Western. This meant that it didn't get its accreditation for its law school, on the grounds that its community covenant, which as an evangelical law school, a private law school, by the way, ruled that sexuality on the campus, sex, should only occur between married people, and that their definition of marriage was one man and one woman, a traditional evangelical Protestant definition. The tie-in here was that this community covenant meant that this law school would not teach the public norm of same-sex marriage with sufficient respect, they said, and that LGBT students would feel unwelcome or unable to attend the campus. What the university says in response is, this is a private university. People who want to live not in agreement with our covenant wouldn't come here anyway, because we're an association who has our own ethos, and that should be protected. The court split on this. The BC Court of Appeal ruled in favor of the university, as did Nova Scotia, but the province of Ontario ruled against the university. So the Supreme Court of Canada is about to decide an extraordinarily important decision, because the argument that there's a link between accreditation and a new public norm of same-sex marriage acceptance will affect charitable status potentially right across the charitable sector. It'll affect any other educational sector. And the argument is it could affect the curriculum of denominational schools themselves. So this case raises the question whether we are going to develop the principles in Western societies that really understand diversity.
Mm. Professor Ian Benson, Professor of Law and Philosophy at Notre Dame University, thank you for being on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Always a pleasure.